So in fasting, we deny our fleshly desires for food, right? And we're reminded. Reminded of our more subtle and demanding desires that need bridled. It's easy enough to tell hunger, sit down. But what's it like with the other stuff going on inside your head that grows and amounts to sin? Because sin travels at the speed of thought. Okay? Now, I'm a man, and sometimes I notice things going on in the world that would get my eye, okay? So, but although there's a blip on the radar, I no longer scramble the jets. Okay? Although there might be something in the way that I'm wired as a man that would make me turn my head, the man who I vow to be before Christ remembers who I am. And steady on, soldier, eyes front. I'll just confess to the reality of that and the need to practice that. And so here's this thing. We remind ourselves that there are more subtle desires that they need to be controlled. At least this one's blatant. Practice with hunger and grow in the other areas. Our actions brew deep in the heart unless we keep an eye on what foments within us. We may surprise ourselves. Unless we keep an eye on what foments within us, we may surprise ourselves. Now, God counseled Cain in Genesis, didn't he? He said, sin is crouching at your door. It's eager to control you. You must subdue it and be its master. You remember that? It's a slightly different articulation of the same idea. Genesis chapter 4, verse 7 says that. I just read it to you from the New Living Translation, a very accurate and reliable translation. Sin's crouching at your door. Its desire is to have you, but you must master it. Well, let's look at what Isaiah says about fasting, can we? So if you open your Bible to the middle, most Bibles, you just put your thumb in the middle and let it fall open. I bet you've got Isaiah. And the neat trick. And then we're going to be in chapter 58, which is actually specifically about fasting. We'll get through it quick. We're not going to do a verse-by-verse expository teaching on it. But look what it says. Isaiah 58, look at starting at verse 5. Is such the fast that I choose? A day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast? An acceptable day to the Lord? It's a rhetorical question. I believe the answer is no. Look at verse 6. Here's why. Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke. Verse 7, is it not to share your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him? And not to hide yourself from your own flesh? How about that? Verse 8 then, if 6 and 7 is if, verse 8 is then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. Then he goes back into if. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking wickedness. If you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Do you recognize Psalm 1 in there? You shall be like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. And you shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable. If you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord. I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Bam. Drop the mic. There it is. So we just looked at verse 5 to verse 14. Is that 9 verses in a Bible, in chapter 58, right? And God makes it clear that the motive of our hearts is very important. The actions we take in our lives are the reflection of our close walk with God. It's not our religious posturing, when you think about fasting, but it's our faithful living that demonstrates intimacy with God. You believe it, live it. Don't just make yourself look holy in a season, but be people who do this stuff. This is a life that God bears witness to. And what we call favor or blessing is really just the transparent presence of God at work in our lives because we follow Him obediently. It's actually quite simple, but the trick is in the practice. The trick is getting up when you don't wanna. The trick is doing what you can when you're inconvenienced. The difficulty is the day-by-day discipline of living in a way that lines up with the way that God says this is important, so that in the time of our need, when we cry out, He goes, I'm right here. What do you need? Yeah, we've got that covered. Are you people who stand for this? I stand for you. That's how it works. And it's not, if you do your part, I'll do my part. It's not it. It's God who says, I'm here. Whoever's here, come here, and when you're here, we're here together, and it works. So God doesn't say, if you do, then I will. God says, I do, I'm doing, you should come along to where it's happening. That is suddenly where we find ourselves talking about fasting and remembering, what is God like? And what does God do? And what am I like? What do I need to do? And it's prayer. That's really the point of fasting, is prayer. It's being near. It's being touched. It's being changed.